Well, we're in Acts, and I was thinking today, I keep a list of where I've been and when I was there and what I preached. And, you know, the first time we came was 06. This is our 20th anniversary of coming to Blessed Hope. The first time I came in 06, it was Mother's Day, and I preached on mothers, and I remember a woman getting up and walking out of the service. I remember that. And I may have gotten a little bit too plain in that sermon. I don't know. But then we came back in 07. Then we came back in, I was here twice in 06. And then we came back in 07. And then I must have done something not good because we didn't come back till 2010. And then in 2010, I must have done something terrible because we didn't come back until 16, 2000. 6 years, we were banished from Blessed Hope. But it's been pretty regular. It's been pretty regular ever since then. And I really do appreciate the church. I thank God we can be here. I'm in Acts chapter 17. Would you stand with me? I'm getting a lot of noise on this. Should I move it down or move it up? Okay. Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, here's what they said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Now they did not mean that as a compliment. They said they've turned the world upside down and now they're here. They want to turn us upside down. They want to change everything in our city. And they were not happy about it. But I look upon that as a great compliment to the early church. They turned the world upside down. And my friend, that's what we're here for. We're here to change this world. We're here to see people saved, become new creatures in Christ, see families be what they ought to be and homes what they should be, and to make a difference. And I want to preach tonight about the church that will make a difference. It kind of fits in, doesn't it? The church that will make a difference. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the book of Acts and these wonderful stories. And dear Lord, sometimes we look at all the glory and all the power of God that they had, but we forget about all the suffering that they went through in the book of Acts. And Lord, sometimes we may have to suffer down here. And as America gets worse and worse, we may have more suffering in store for us. But Lord, if that happens, your grace will be sufficient. And if that happens, dear God, we can just go on. We can still have the joy of the Lord. And Lord, we may even see more results if persecution comes. But I thank you tonight for this church. And Lord, I do feel sometimes like, what have I got to say that hasn't already been said many, many times? But I pray that you'd use me tonight because, Lord, I know I have sat in churches before and heard something that I heard before. But my heart needed to hear that again. My soul needed that. More good than the first time I heard it. Maybe I was more ready to receive it. And I just pray you'd do a work like that here tonight, Lord. I pray that you would reinforce what has already been done in this church and what Brother Ross has preached and taught all these years. Reinforce it, Lord. But I also pray that you would stir us up anew and, Lord, give us a new vision, a new desire to go forward, Lord, and really make a difference in our neighborhood. Everywhere we go, even at Walmart or in a restaurant or wherever we might go, that we might make a difference. And Lord, I pray this church that has made such a difference would even go on to greater heights and have more impact than ever before. Father, I pray this. Help me preach now. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing. Some of you may say, boy, you had to stand up for a long time. Well, I wish you'd quit complaining. I've got to stand up for the whole service here tonight. The church that will make a difference. And I'm going to have to repeat a little bit that I taught in Sunday school today because many of you were not in here. And because it's in my notes here. And I'm going to say some things that maybe I said this morning. But number one, and this may seem unusual to you, but I want to start out here. The church that will really make a difference needs to be a happy church. It needs to be a happy church. By the way, the home that'll make a difference needs to be a happy home. Amen. What is a church but homes coming together? Families coming together. And we need to be happy. We need the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. God doesn't want the joy tank on half. He doesn't want the joy gauge down near empty. He wants the joy gauge in your life on full. Amen. That's what he wants. Fullness of joy. And as we said this morning, Nehemiah is the one who said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. I can remember when I was a young man, a boy, and I didn't want to get up real early in the morning. I didn't want to get up and go to school. I didn't want to get up if there was some work to be done. But if my dad said, we're going fishing in the morning, boy, I could get out of that bed. I'm telling you, there was joy in that. And it gave me strength and helped me. And the joy of the Lord will give you strength to go on. It'll keep you going when nothing else will. And I told this morning about the church down here in Cannleton. That when I walked in that church, even as a boy, maybe 11 or 12 years old, there was this group of men standing there. I could see them now. There was the pastor, Brother Garrett. There was Brother Back. There was Red Waldrop, saved out of a drunkard's life. There was Charles Leatherland and his brother, Lawrence Leatherland. And they were standing there, sometimes Doug Coghill. Standing there. These were men who were saved in that church. And they were just so happy to be there. And they stood there at the door. And my friend, nobody told them to do it. No, they didn't go to some college or some seminar where it said, you know, it would really be a blessing in your church if you'd stand. No, they never heard that. The pastor didn't know anything about that. All they knew was they were saved. They were in church. And they were so happy somebody else was coming to church. And they were meeting us at the door. And I've never forgotten that. I can still see those men and the joy of the Lord that they had. And another thing that I mentioned in Sunday school today, that I think it bears repeating, and many of you were not in here, is that one time I heard Brother Brown, Larry Brown, preaching. He was preaching on the home, different like Wednesday nights, one issue on the home, and one night it might be doctrine in the home or discipline in the home or family altar in the home or standards in the home. And this one night he got up and he said, what I'm preaching tonight is more important than standards. He said, this is more vital than discipline. He said, this is more important than doctrine. He said, this is more important than having a family altar. And how many ever saw Brother Larry Brown preach? Would you raise your hand? All right. You know, he can do things like only Larry Brown. You can't imitate him, but I like to try sometimes. He leaned, I'm leaning forward thinking, what is it? What is it? What is it? And he leaned forward and he said, you better get happy. I'll never forget that. He said, if you don't have a happy home, standards, they don't want your standards. They don't want a home like yours. If you don't have a happy home, they don't, discipline's not going to make that much of a difference. And you got to get happy. And I remember hearing one time Brother Gomez preaching to dads. And he made this statement. He said, dad ought to be the fun maker in the home. And you know, I set out to do that in our home. And I tried to be the fun maker. We had a lot of fun when our kids were growing up. But I'm just saying that that's for a happy home, but we need happy churches and we need the joy of the Lord. I really believe that's why a lot of people are going to these charismatic churches. There's life there. I mean, it's not scriptural. It's not right. They're compromising. And just to get a crowd to come. I do believe there are some sincere people who've been caught up in that. I really do. But for the most part, you know, they're not what a church ought to be, but yet people are. We've got one in our town called City Point, and they've got the rock music. I'm telling you, they start out with their rock music, but hundreds and hundreds of people go to that church. I meet them all over the place. Where do you go to church? City Point. But you know what? There's excitement there. There's life there. Some people are leaving these dead churches that are like funeral homes and going out somewhere looking for life. But you know, there's life here, and I thank God. I thank God. I can stand out there and just see life all over the place. And this is one of those churches when the service is over. You may not believe this, but we've been in churches, and when they say the final amen, I mean, they're gone. People are gone. You look around, where is everybody? They're gone. I think they've gone out back to their TV sets or back to their computer or whatever. And they got out of there. But, you know, our church is the same way. You can stick around there for a half an hour, and it's still just buzzing like a beehive. People everywhere. People don't want to leave. And, oh, thank God for a happy church. And, you know, I've got a little note here. Thank God for your song leader. We've seen all kinds of song leaders. We really have. I've seen men, it looked like that they had to go to court and the judge sentenced them to lead singing in the church. I mean, I've some of the longest faces that you've ever seen. And I've seen all kinds of song leaders. I've seen all kinds of motions, you know. There was a guy, you know what pitching pennies is? Anybody ever pitch pennies? That's gambling, you know. But one guy led the singing like that the whole time. And I've seen two men lead the singing in a deep bass voice. I mean, they were deeper than Emily. Up there, can you imagine? Amazing grace. But we've seen all kinds, and we've seen many who were not happy. But your song leader, I'm telling you, he's got a great expression, got a great voice. You ought to thank God for him. Amen. You ought to thank God for him. Thank God for a song leader who's got some life. And just every now and then, have him over to your house for some fried chicken. Amen. Well, a happy church, a happy church. And I don't know, you probably don't even need that. You have a happy church. Just let me reinforce what you've already got, all right? But I want to preach about this too, a church that's really going to make a difference. It needs to be a holy church. A holy church. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Some of you know where I'm going. Some of you could quote it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Very familiar. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 15. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God loves holiness. He loves it. God loves holiness. And did you know this? I think some of you probably do. Maybe many of you do. Some of these new versions, they've actually taken the word holy out. I didn't know that until I looked into the book by Gail Riplinger, New Age Bible Versions. And one of the first pages shows how the NIV, the non-inspired version, the NIV, has taken the word holy out in many places. Now, why would anybody want to take holy out? I see the devil's fingerprints, don't you? He doesn't like holiness. He loves ungodliness. He loves wickedness. But our God loves holiness. And my friend, we ought to be a holy people. We have a holy God. We have a holy Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ought to be holy people. Not holier than thou. Oh my, don't become a Pharisee. Thank God for separated people. Thank God for holy people. Thank God. I appreciate the modesty in this church. I really do. I appreciate the modesty. I love the teenagers of this church. I love them. I just thank God for the teenagers that are here. I see a genuineness about them. I see a sincerity about them. I mean, yesterday I saw they know how to have fun. They know how to laugh. They know how to act like an idiot and to get a laugh. And I was sitting back there thinking, I got to preach in a little while. I got a serious message here. What in the world am I going to do? But thank God, Brother Chad and whoever else was in charge, they brought that thing around, had some testimonies, and then had the teens get up and sing a great song, The Lord is Good. And I started feeling something, you know. I had butterflies before that, and then they got in formation. I was ready to preach. But I thank God for your teenagers. I see modesty there and among the women of this church. And thank God for the men, too. I don't see any men walking around without a shirt on. And I appreciate the modesty in this church. But you know what? Don't ever get to the place where you look down at people who don't have those standards. Right. I've just come to the place where I think, you know what? They just don't have a pastor like I've got. Right. They don't have a pastor who'll get up and tell it like it is. I've heard Brother Brown, our pastor, Brother Joseph Brown, my son-in-law, I've heard him say this. There are churches out there and pastors are saying a lot of good things. They really are. Many of them are preaching the gospel and they're saying some good things, but he said it's not just what they say, it's what they don't say. It's what they won't say. But I thank God for Brother Ross. He'll say it. And you know, that's why we moved to Iowa. I'm telling you, we left Kentucky, the promised land, and came to Iowa in the winter, no man's land. Oh, we got stuck in a blizzard in Iowa, going to church one night, and it wasn't even Thanksgiving yet. But we made that move, and people say, why did you do that? And I'll tell you why. Larry Brown and the Marion Avenue Baptist Church. We heard Brother Brown preach at a sword conference. And oh, I'm telling you, he preached against sin. He preached it straight and true. We heard him again in Louisville, Kentucky. And we just fell in love with his preaching. And we went to visit that church. And back in 99 when we first started traveling. And that's when Charity, our 12-year-old daughter, said she looked at Joseph Brown. And he was 16, and she said, I knew he was the one. And I thought maybe Charity was strange until another woman said that same thing today, that at 12 and a half years old, she looked at her husband. I got to check out these names here. Who is the song leader? What, Brother Walton, yeah. Nathan and Lauren, Miss Lauren. Lauren said, at 12 and a half. So she had a 12-year-old daughter standing beside her. I said, who are you looking at? Oh, man. Oh, my. Praise God, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. God desires a holy people. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need holy churches. Multitudes of Christians have believed this lie that compromise is the way to go. And I'll be the first one to say compromise can draw a crowd. But there's a difference in a crowd and a congregation. There's a difference in just drawing a bunch of people together and having a church that is pleasing to God, a New Testament church that pleases God, and a church that God will bless with His presence. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here in this church. Don't ever take that for granted. My wife and I, we go to churches. Last year we were in about 50 churches last year. And sometimes we drive away and my wife has said, did you sense the presence of the Lord? And sometimes I have to say, I didn't. But I tell you, I feel the presence of the Lord when I walk in this church. God is here. Don't do anything. Don't do anything to change that. In fact, draw closer to Him so His presence will be manifested in an even greater way. Seems like the presence of evil is getting stronger out in the world. We need the presence of godliness and holiness, the presence of God, to get stronger and stronger in our church. Amen. The Bible still says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And my friend, we need preaching. We need straight preaching. We really do. And I really believe that a lot of people out there are looking for that. They're looking for some man of God who will stand up and just tell it like it is. I know there's some people, they don't want that. They don't want that, but I believe a lot of people do. We have people driving great distances to come to Marion Avenue Baptist Church. Now, it's not like Indiana, where you've got so many churches in Iowa, but we have people, we do have several up to the north of us, but we've got people that drive a long way. And I'm telling you, our pastor, Brother Joseph Brown, is... One thing I admire about him is that he does, you know, if you've heard Brother Larry Brown, he kind of reminds you of Billy Sunday, what he must have been like. Brother Brown, I've seen him stand on top of the pulpit. I've seen him walk on pews. Now, he'll soon be 80. I think his pew walking days are over. But you know, he's bombastic. He's dynamic. Our pastor, his son, does not try to imitate his dad. And I admire that in him. I really do. I've seen preachers who try to imitate some other preacher. But you know what? They've got the same standards. They've got the same doctrine. They've got the same fire. They've got the same zeal. They've got the same vision. And Brother Joe preaches the Word of God straight. And I've heard him say things from the pulpit that some pastors would shudder to say, because they'd be sure some people are going to walk out that door and they'll never come back. But you know, that never did bother Larry Brown, and it doesn't seem to bother Joseph Brown. And I thank God for that. And I don't think it bothers Jerry Ross to get up and say something that needs to be said, even if somebody does walk out that door and they never come back. We're going to stand before God someday and give an account for how we preached, and did we tell it like it is? I want to hit one more thing tonight. We need to be a happy church. We need to be a holy church. And thank God for a harmonious church. Unity. I'm preaching about unity. Brother, churches are destroyed from the inside. They're not destroyed from the outside. You persecute a church, it'll grow. But churches are destroyed from the inside. God loves harmony. And the devil loves discord. The devil loves that. This worldly music out there. Some of it doesn't even sound like music. And yet the world is eating it up. And discord. And the devil loves that. And the devil loves those who sow discord among the brethren. And God hates it. God hates those who sow discord. I'm preaching about backbiters and gossipers and whisperers. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And you know, there may not be a soul in this church who's guilty of this, but maybe this is just some preventive medicine. Don't ever be a backbiter. Don't listen to one. Don't ever be one. As a matter of fact, God gives you permission. If a backbiter comes up to you and begins to spew out some gossip, God gives you permission to make a mean face at them. I ought to take them over and show them that. An angry countenance. This is in Proverbs now. An angry countenance driveth away a backbiting tongue. Somebody comes up to you and they, well, like somebody came up to one of our daughters-in-law. And I'm so proud of her. They came up and they said, "We're leaving this church. And I want to tell you why." And she said, "I don't want to hear it. This church has helped us." But a lot of times backbiters and gossips, They'll circle the field. They come back in for another landing. "Well, let me just tell you this." And she said, "I don't want to hear it. This church has been a blessing to us." And I told her, "I'm so proud of you." An angry countenance driveth away a backbiting tongue. Somebody comes up and starts talking bad. You say, "What is a backbiter?" It's somebody who talks negative in a negative way about somebody behind their back. That's pretty simple. Anybody guilty? Anybody not guilty? But you know, really, I think when the Bible's talking mainly about backbiting, it's in a malicious way. When somebody is trying to do harm, somebody's trying to cause division because they realize if I can get this person to turn this person against, there's some kind of a mentality that I've seen in people before where they somehow feel like if they can push somebody down, it makes them a little bit higher. But in the eyes of God, it just puts them lower. But I want you to notice this. In case you're ever tempted to be a backbiter or a whisperer, "Hey, you know what? I like this church, but watch out for that butt." Watch out for billy goats, and watch out for that butt. Watch out. I like this church. I like Brother Ross. I really like him. He's a good preacher, but watch out for that. That's a signal. That's a red flag. But I want you to notice this. Here's a verse that is, it's almost unbelievable. Right down in verse number 30, we have a catalog of sins. It's just like many, many sins that are listed here at the end of Romans chapter 1. And I want you to notice, we'll just start at verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, how wicked is that? Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. You don't get much worse than that. Debate, deceit, malignity. Now look at this. Right after malignity, and you say, "What in the world is malignity?" I looked it up. It's extreme hatred. It's an evil attitude of the heart, a deep-rooted spite. You ever met anybody like that? They've got spite in their heart. They're not going to be satisfied till they get even with somebody. That is malignity. God hates it. And here it is, malignity. Right after that is whisperers. Right after that is backbiters. And right after that is haters of God. Haters of God. How much worse can you get? That's worse than a murderer. A hater of God. But right in between those who have malignity and those who are haters of God, you might say living right next door is a backbiter and a whisperer. My friend, if you're a backbiter, if you're a gossip, if you talk negative about people behind their back, don't you have enough character, if you have a problem, to go to somebody and deal with them face to face? But you're sure living in a bad neighborhood if that's your characteristic. My friend, there is power in unity. You read the book of Acts, and the first word I think of in Acts is power. There is power all over that book. The power of God. The dead are raised. Souls are saved by multitudes. I mean, devils are cast out. There's power all over the book. But you know something else that you find all through the book of Acts? This little phrase, one mind and one accord. One mind and one accord. One mind and one accord. And God sends His power to a church that has that kind of unity. And there's something, we've got unity in our church, and I thank God for it. Every day of my life, I thank God for my church, and I thank God for the unity in our church. My friend, listen, pray about it before it happens. Pray about a problem before it takes place. Pray that God will never let disunity come into this church. Pray that God will keep it out. Pray that God will keep you in one mind and one accord. And here's some things I think you ought to really take into consideration. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor, that means strive. Work at it. Put some effort into it. Pray about it. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because, my friend, sometimes when it's gone, it never comes back. Don't take it for granted. Number one, are you endeavoring? Number one, watch yourself. Watch yourself. There's some people, all they're doing is looking around at somebody else. Brother, you better keep an eye on yourself. You better make yourself suspect. Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so watch yourself. Start every day with God. Start every day with God. Amen. I think I only got two amens on that. Start every day with God. I mean, put God first in your life. That's a truth that changed my life forever. It did. I started out my Christian life. I read the Bible at night. And I prayed before I went to bed at night and spent a little time with God. I mean, the first night I got saved, 15 years old, I went home and I found out something was different in my life. I wanted to read the Bible. I didn't want to read the Bible before I got saved. But I did it at night. Nobody taught me the great truth, meet with God in the morning. But then I heard a preacher preach on that. He said, put God first in the morning. And I began to do that. It changed my life. And I challenge you to do that. Stay after souls as a church. Stay after souls. Have the same purpose. And that brings unity. You know, Brother Curtis Hudson used to tell about going coon hunting with Tony and his dogs. And he said they went out in the woods and they had all these coon dogs, you know, out there barking and howling. And he said he let them out of their cages and all they wanted to do was fight one another. Until one of them smelled a coon. That nose went up in the air.
He got the scent of that coon. And he said, he started barking, gave that howl. I can't do it. Tony Hudson can. Started howling. And then all these other dogs, they got that scent. And he said, they all went off in one mind and one accord. They all had one goal. They had one goal, get that raccoon. And my friend, if we're going after souls, amen, it'll keep us in one mind and one accord. Refuse to be a backbiter. Refuse to listen to one. Stand with God's man. Don't ever let somebody talk bad about your pastor. Just don't let it happen. I heard about one man that punched somebody in the nose. I'm not saying go that far. But I'm telling you what, don't let somebody talk about your pastor. If you have to walk away, don't let somebody badmouth your pastor. He's not perfect, but he's a man of God. Amen. And you know, I want to say to you tonight, if you come to the place where you cannot follow this man of God, don't stir up trouble. Just quietly leave and go find somebody you can follow. But don't attack the man of God. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, oh, I love this church. And Lord, I want it to get stronger and stronger and stronger. I want them to be happier and happier and holier as the years go by. Lord, we know we're living in the last days. Lord, we know that we're living in the last of the last days. We know the trumpet could sound tonight and we'd go home to be with you. But Lord, we also know we may be here for several more years. And Lord, I just pray this church would shine brighter and brighter. Oh, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing here.